Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that, let's face it, don't know God for sure and is definitely in need of more love? How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a light in this present darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It is Pentecost. I love Pentecost. Pentecost, you know, it's hard to say what your favorite Sunday is, but I'll have to say Pentecost's got to be up there. Got to be up there. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And something a little interesting going on here at Daily Living with Pentecost. You know, we read the gospel every Sunday, and we try to talk about it, make sense of it. But with Pentecost, the real story happens in the first reading. So it's the only time of the year that we don't read the gospel per se, we read the first reading. So we're going to be reading from the book of Acts, a second chapter, that kind of lays out what happens on the day of Pentecost. And as we get ready to read this, I would like you to just turn off your phone, shut the door, absolutely just focus. It's only a half an hour, very short. Ask God to speak to you, because we have a very powerful message today. And God's got a lesson for you. The question is, are you ready to hear it? Are you ready to be open to that message? My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we will hear this message and we will allow it to come into our hearts and change us. What do you say? I quit yipping about all this and we get right on into it. We are hearing today from Acts, second chapter, the coming of the Spirit. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others said, scoffing, "They have had too much new wine." There's always a doubter. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more here as we consider Pentecost. This is big. You need to call in the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about Pentecost here as we celebrate God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, And at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we celebrate Pentecost. I love Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, the third glorious mystery, Pentecost, love it. That word Pentecost coming from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th, having its roots in what happens 50 days after the Jewish feast of Passover. And what happens 50 days after Passover, also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, also known as the Harvest Feast, where the faithful would bring first fruits from the fields to honor Yahweh. You can read all about it in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. Now, the Feast of Weeks was to be celebrated 7 weeks plus one day, which is 50, after the Passover. Now, during the Hellenistic period, which was marked by the death of Alexander the Great in 325 BC, all the way up to the rise of the Roman Empire in 31 BC, this ancient festival also became a day of renewing God's covenant to Noah, or what they call the Noahic Covenant. You can read all about that in the 9th chapter of Genesis, where God tells Noah, I'm never going to flood the world again, and as a sign of this promise, I will put my bow in the sky. That is what a rainbow is all about, my friend. But anyway, by the time we get to our story today that we read in Acts, many Jews were living in diaspora, which is a fancy way of saying away from their homeland, which would explain why so many pilgrims were in the city from other countries to celebrate the Feast of Weeks as the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples. Now, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is what we call Pentecost today. Now, since Pentecost is tied to Easter, and Easter, like Passover, is tied to the lunar calendar and moves around a little bit, both Easter and Pentecost are what are known as movable feasts. So, that's the history. Let's talk about what it means. What does Pentecost mean to me? More specifically, how can I apply this into my daily living? Well, that's a big question. And like a lot of big questions, it has a complicated answer. But before we get into the complicated answer, let's talk about a simple answer. I was talking to a neophyte the other day. A neophyte is somebody that's been recently instructed and received into the Catholic Church. So we're talking about a rookie, a convert. And I love converts, because they're generally a bit more excited about their faith than those of us who are simply born into our faith and spend our whole lives going to church. So this neophyte's all excited about learning about the church, and there's a whole lot to learn, and that's true. I mean, I'm 58 years old. I'm a priest. I still learn every day new things about the church because it's a deep pool. So anyway, I'm talking to this neophyte, and I asked her, I said, so what does Pentecost mean to you? And she said, without hesitation, well, that's when we're given the Holy Spirit, which is where we get our peace, to carry around and share with the world. Oh, wow. I mean, that's it. That is it. Why go any further? But of course, my friend, we're just getting started. We're celebrating Pentecost, and that's why we read from the book of Acts today, because that's all the action really happens in the book of Acts. It's the second chapter of Acts. So we didn't read our gospel. But if we were to read our gospel today, we would have read on the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. So right away, two things come to mind. Number one, did you notice that the doors were locked? Yet Jesus walked right through them. Kind of brings to mind a question. What doors have you locked in your life these days? Understand, whatever those doors might be, Jesus can and will walk right through them. Because, my friend, there are no secrets in heaven. Number two, what does he say? Peace be with you. If we could just get that. We live in such an anxiety-filled world. Certainly there was no peace in that room this day when he first appears, but what he says next, this is big. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I gotta say, if you could isolate just one moment that really represents the pinnacle of Christianity, this would be the moment. He breathed on them. Remember, they're afraid, they're confused, they don't know what to do, they don't know where to turn. Sounds a whole lot like many of us. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And it's a spirit that had been around for a very long time. It's the same spirit that moved across the deep in Genesis. It's the same spirit that came to rest upon the prophets who spoke God's will to the people. It's the same spirit that the angel Gabriel was talking about when he said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, talking to Mary, and you will bear a son and you are the name of Jesus. It's the same spirit that John the Baptist was talking about when he said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit, my friend. It's the same spirit that came down in the form of a dove on the River Jordan as Jesus came out of the waters after being baptized. Same spirit that drove Jesus into the desert to be tempted by Satan. Same spirit that rushed upon our disciples today as we celebrate Pentecost. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that word breathe is interesting because we don't see that word very much in Scripture. But we do see the same word in Genesis. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Other translations, a living creature. My favorite translation, a living soul. The breath of life. Which begs the question, what exactly is life? What is life? Because it's obviously more than just my flesh and bones. What is life? Well, may I suggest that life is three things. It's triune, which is kind of interesting, a reflection of the Trinity, because I am body, which is my carriage that carries me through the world. I am my spirit, also known as my soul, which was breathed into me by my Father in heaven. And I am my mind, right? Because when you think about it, what are you if not the totality of what you're thinking about all the time? So I am mind, body, and soul. And we see this perfectly reflected when Jesus was asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love your Lord your God with all your heart, which is your body, with all your spirit, which is your soul, and all your mind, which is all your thinking. But getting back to Pentecost, what does it really mean? What does Pentecost mean to me? Well, to answer that question, we have to go back to the Garden of Eden, a garden where God provided for all of our needs. Remember now, when we were first created, we were created for eternity. The original blueprints were eternal. There was no death. It was to come, but at this point, no. And then God told Adam, you are free to eat of any of the trees in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From that tree, you can't eat it. In fact, if you do eat of that tree, you'll die. And I'm fairly confident most of us know how that worked out. But just in case somebody out there hadn't heard the story, in the end, Adam did eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And without getting into all the details, the reason that he ate from the tree and Eve ate from the tree, which they knew they weren't supposed to do, was because they had bought into the big lie. Oh yeah, the big lie. The thought from which all sin flows. I don't need God. I can be my own God. You're not the boss of me. I want to do what I want to do. And we have been living with the consequences of that decision ever since. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We will continue to talk about this amazing story of Pentecost here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking about how God creates both Adam and Eve, plants them in the Garden of Eden, and He created them for eternity. And it was perfect. They could do just about whatever they wanted to do, except one thing. One thing. God told them to stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. Don't even look at it. Just don't. Or if you eat of it, you'll die. That's what He said. But you know, they just had to do it, right? They ate it anyway. But did they die? Well, obviously not. Because if they did, then we wouldn't be here today. So was God bluffing? Was He lying? Well, of course not. God don't lie. So obviously something must have died. What died? Well, getting back to that whole question of what is life thing, when God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul, what exactly does that mean? Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, after our likeness." So we were made in the image of God. We were made in the likeness of God. What does that really mean? What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Does that mean that whenever I look in the mirror, that this is what God looks like? I hope not. I was hoping for better. No, of course it doesn't. God is spirit. He has no body. So that's not what it means. So what does it really mean to be made in the image of God? Well, what it means is that we share godly essence. We share like the same stardust. And the essence that we share with God is eternal. And that, my friend, is what died that day. What died that day was essence. What died that day was eternal. What died that day was spiritual. What died that day was a conscious contact with the Father. Oh yeah, the flesh went on living, for sure. But the eternal soul died that day. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, period. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? To revive in us what died that day. This is why Jesus is often referred to as the new Adam, and Mary is often referred to as the new Eve, because through Jesus, and Mary helped, you know, quite a bit, but through Jesus, we have been offered the opportunity to revive in us what died that day. It is free gift. It is grace. Can't earn it. We can only choose to accept it or choose to reject it. Because you see, God loves you so much that He has given you the freedom, known as free will, to not love Him back. So let's review. In the beginning, God breathes the breath of life into Adam. He was, as we are, created in His image, which is eternal. But he fell from grace. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when His Son, Jesus, died on the cross, He defeated death. And when He rose from the dead and appeared to His disciples, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," giving them new birth. It's a birth that we hear about in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, when we meet Nicodemus. And we love Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very powerful religious figure in Israel. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which to the nation of Israel is like the Senate, the Congress, and the Supreme Court all rolled up into one. So this guy's a big deal. And of course, his fellow rulers in Jerusalem considered Jesus to be a big threat. They were not fans. They considered him very dangerous, even demon-possessed, misleading the people. But Nicodemus, he wasn't going to just take their word for him. Nicodemus is kind of like Thomas. He wasn't going to rely on hearsay faith, right? So he went out to seek Jesus out privately, do a little investigation. Maybe he can rein him in a little bit. And he's not stupid, doesn't want people to see him. So he goes at night, keeps it on the down low. And he says to Jesus, Rabbi, which is a term of respect, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that's come from God, for no one can do these signs that you're doing unless God is with him. And Jesus looks at him and says, amen, amen, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, or born in spirit, or born again. It's all the same thing. It is the reviving of what died in us in the Garden of Eden. After Jesus conquered death on the cross, and just before he was getting ready to ascend to his heavenly Father, he gathered his disciples together to give them one last instruction. He orders them, very strong word, he orders them, do not leave Jerusalem. I don't want you to go anywhere. I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to wait. I want you to wait and pray for the promise of the Father. So they did. 9 days. 9 days they prayed. In fact, this is where we get the very first novena. 9 days they pray for the promise of the Father. And what came? I'll tell you what came. A strong wind came. Tongues of fire came. Sounded like a train. Echoing the words of John the Baptist so long ago on the River Jordan. I baptize you for repentance of your sins with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandals I can't even carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, rushing wind. And in that moment, the fragile belief became rock solid faith. And cowering, denying Peter became bold, proclaiming Peter. And when he stepped out on that balcony and gave that homily, he converted 3,000 people. Man, I'd love to have a copy of that homily. And they were astounded and in amazement, asked, are not all these people speaking Galileans? How is it that we all hear them in our native language? Well, I'll tell you how, because they had the Spirit. And the Spirit's going to meet you where you're at, my friend. You carry the love of Christ in your heart. You're filled with the Spirit. You go out in this world, it'll cut through all barriers. I've seen it. They might not have understood it. That's okay. The mission had begun. And it's a mission that continues today through you. And what's that mission? To carry the message. And what's the message? Well, the message is that God loves you, not mankind, but you personally. Not only that, but God wants to live through you in relationship. And how do we carry that message? Through the Holy Spirit. Without, we can do nothing. Hear all about it in the 14th chapter of John. I will send you another advocate to be with you, the Spirit of truth, a truth that this world does not know, but you know it, because it is with you and it will be in you. What does that look like? What does it look like to have the Spirit in you? Well, my friends, we can sit in the pews every Sunday, hear a story about Jesus, week in, week out. We can say grace over our meals, and the Spirit is definitely with us. But is it in us? Not necessarily. The only way the Spirit can be in you is when you turn over your will to the care of the Holy Spirit and seek Jesus through His Word. As you unravel the big lie, I don't need God, I can be my only God, I can be my own God. It is only then, when you allow the Holy Spirit to be poured into your heart, and then and only then, you will have peace, a peace which this world cannot give you, a peace that goes beyond all human understanding, and you will know. And what has died within you will come back to life. My friend, does that sound good to you? Would you like to come back to life? Well, the good news about the good news is that same Spirit that Jesus breathed upon His disciples, that same Spirit that came rushing down on Pentecost, is available to you today. Right here, right now. Just waiting on you. Let us allow Jesus to pour this Spirit into our hearts. And like Lazarus, lying in the grave, let us wake up from our spiritual slumber. Let us cast off the burial bands of our habitual sin, and roll away the stone, and walk out into the sunlight of the Holy Spirit, which is fuel for conversion, which is change. Would you like to change? It awaits for you today. It's been poured out for you. All we have to do is drink it in. And that, my friend, is what Pentecost is all about. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.